Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
You're listening to Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful VBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. This is your host, Allison, and I welcome you to the show tonight. Tonight is the second show in a two-part series about gifted children. Last week, we had Dr. Kevin Emery as our guest, and he had a lot to say about children being diagnosed with ADD. He told us that children are being born in these times. It's just all part of a natural part of evolution. They don't have an illness, but rather are gifted. And it was a fascinating show, and I encourage you to listen to it in the archives if you happen to miss it. And tonight, I have another guest on, and what motivated me to do these shows is many mothers of children emailed me, or they wanted me to look at the numerology charts of their children because their children displayed psychic or mediumship ability. And it goes without saying that a person's ability to connect with spirit is shown in the numbers. In fact, for some of us, it's not only who we are and what our natural-born talents and abilities are, but it's also what we came to experience in this lifetime. Everyone has the ability, to a certain degree, to connect to spirit, and some have more ability than others, quite like the difference between a piano player and a concert pianist. What motivated me to do these shows was the total lack of information as to how to nurture and protect a child with such a gift. Parents want to know, what is the best thing to do for their child? How do you handle your child telling you that he is speaking with a ghost or sees one? What do you do if your child is fearful? Can a spirit harm a child? What do you do to make the spirits go away, or should you make the spirits go away? Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back medium and spirit artist Rita Berkowitz to the show. And what is so unique about Rita is she not only receives messages from the other side, but she also has the ability to create beautiful portraits of your loved ones. Rita has a warm and comforting way about her, and I'm sure you're really going to enjoy hearing from her. She's the author of Empowering Your Life with Angels and co-author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. Both books I've read and both books I enjoyed very much. Rita has both studied and taught at the Arthur Findlay College in Essex, England, as well as lectured and demonstrated in colleges, New Age centers, and spiritualist churches in the United States and Canada. She is an accomplished artist who has shown her paintings and drawings throughout New England and New York. Rita is an ordained minister in the spiritualist church and pastor of the First Spiritualist Church of Quincy. She also is a certified medium and has completed a Master's of Science in Psychological Counseling. Rita offers private sittings, classes, and has trained many professional mediums. I encourage you to visit her website, www.thespiritartist.com, while listening to the show. You can read a lot more about her there, but in the meantime, I just as soon welcome her to the show. Hi, Rita. How you doing?
Hi, Allison. Great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, you got bowled over from the snow today.
We definitely got bowled over, and temperatures are dropping way low tonight, so I am happy to be talking to you from my living room.
Well, I hope you got something warm to drink, because I know
yes,
it's getting pretty cold. All right.
Yes,
well,
I do.
Let me start off by asking you, you know, are you finding that this is more the norm, or is it just easier for people to speak about it, mainly because of the recent expansion in the media about, you know, different kinds of spiritual topics, the different mediums that are on TV? It just makes it easier for people to speak about this? Or do you think that children are just coming in more gifted?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think, you know, yes, there are more children that are coming in gifted. But, you know, if you go back to when I was a child and, you know, they used to say, well, she's just hyperactive. You know, she doesn't like to sit still. She has an active imagination. So people are much more aware of the sensitivities that a child that does have a gift, you know, exhibits. And so, and the fact that television really has opened it up and allowed us to see that this is not something that is abnormal, but that, in fact, it is very normal.
It is very normal.
It's very normal. And so it really is, you know, a combination. You know, when we were children, they said, oh, she had an imaginary friend. Never would think that it's a spirit. And, you know, just a vivid imagination. You know,
right.
isn't she amazing? Look at this vivid imagination this child has.
Right.
Rather than saying, in fact, that she might be experiencing something that we all need to experience.
Right. Well, listen, Rita, one of the major reasons I'm stopping what you're telling us here is the lines are open because really the best way to assess what people want to know is to actually have them ask us. So I know that I heard a beep, and I think somebody has called into the show. So do you mind if we take this caller?
Oh, no, let's go right to it.
Okay. Hello, caller. Who's calling?
This is Paula.
Hello?
This is Paula.
Hi, Paula. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Do you have a question for Rita?
What is the best way in order to facilitate your child being able to connect with spirit when they're already doing it very well? What's the best way to guide them?
I would very gently encourage them, but I wouldn't push. I would ask them to tell you who they're seeing, if they can recognize the person. And again, it may be two very different scenarios that could be happening. A child may see a deceased loved one that is connected to them, that they are connecting with, and that loved one may be coming in by to say, I'm okay and I'm still here with you and don't worry. Or they may be seeing a spirit that they don't know. So the first thing I would do is say, well, who are you talking to? Can you tell me about them? But I wouldn't push them in the sense of trying to say, you know, to an 8-year-old, well, let's develop this, and, you know, how did the person pass? Because remember that every time we're talking to a spirit, we're talking to somebody who is not physically on the earth plane, and death can be very scary to a child. So we really have to, you know, remember the ratings, shall we say, that, you know, to keep it G-rated in the conversations that you're having with the child and allow them to fill you in rather than you trying to coax them or push them to go further at that age.
Rita, okay. Can I ask you?
Yes.
I have a question here. Laurie, what happens if it's somebody you don't know?
If it's somebody you don't know, and I was with the child, I would ask, can you tell me about them? You know, how are they making you feel? Now,
should a parent be concerned if it's somebody the child doesn't know?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes it's somebody that's attracted to the light of the household, attracted to the light of the family, and maybe, you know, visiting. Sometimes it's somebody that is connected to the place that they're living in. For instance, I've been in homes where, you know, I'm invited to homes where the family calls me and says the house is haunted, and I go into the household, and in fact, it's a relative that is just coming to visit. So, and the child may not know the relative if the relative died before the child was born.
Right.
So
right.
That can be happening. Or it's somebody that is actually attached to the house. You know,
okay.
That somebody moves into an older house. There are people that still come in to visit that are connected to that particular house. The thing
sure.
that I would be concerned about is if the child is scared. And if the child is scared, then I would start to talk to the child about what they were experiencing and very much empower the child to know that nobody can hurt them.
Right.
And that they can say, get away. And that's one of the things that, you know, even when I'm working with adult students, that they don't know the boundaries. You know, I always say with spirit, we set the same good, healthy boundaries as you would with any person, you know,
right.
physical person on the earth plane. So if we are, in fact, you know, the child is, in fact, feeling a spirit that is scaring them for whatever reason, then you want to help the child to say, you can't do that, go away.
Okay.
And we always have to remember that the child, you know, we that are in the physical, the child or an adult that are in the physical, have the right to be here, and mm-hmm. that the spirits are visitors.
Right. Caller, did that somewhat answer your question?
It did, and I just didn't know if Rita was doing any readings tonight or if she was just answering general questions.
We're just answering general questions tonight.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Rita, I did want to ask you because, you know, when you study spiritual philosophy and we study a lot of books, it does tell you that when a child first comes to the earth plane, that they're more connected to the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people you talk to, they say, well, you know, when I was younger, I used to see things. I used to have that kind of experience. But, you know, and they seem to use the word, I outgrew it or it went away. So necessarily, if you've got a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old walking around that sees spirit, this may not necessarily be something that they're going to grow up and be, you know,
absolutely.
Rita Berkowitz or John Edwards. This could be a temporary thing.
Thank you. If you think about the fact that the crown chakra is located mm-hmm. the same spot that the soft spot of the head is.
Okay.
Okay. So while that's opened, you know, it doesn't...
Oh,
really
I never had the physical analogy. Oh, that's interesting. Okay,
so,
go ahead.
Okay. So if we think about that, you know, there's a few things that are going on. It's fairly closed up at 7 years old. At the same point, the child gets their first adult teeth. At the same point, they go from being somewhat about themselves to becoming social human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not so much in their own head and feeling things because they become much more concerned with the interaction that they have with friends and wanting to be with the friends and, you know, in social groups. So there's three things that are happening, both physically, spiritually, and socially,
mm-hmm.
that are changing at the time, approximately at 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what happens is as they become pre-adolescent, and specifically girls are prepubescent, specifically girls, and their hormones start raging, mm-hmm. that in fact they become, I don't want to say they're in an altered state because it's a very natural state, but because of the greater sensitivity, and anybody who has had daughters knows that, you know, before they flow, they PMS for about a year and a half, and, you know, you have to deal with extreme sensitivity on that child. And so they become sensitive again for a little while. And then in most cases, they again go into their social world. And as adolescents, they want to interact. They're looking for their identity.
Right.
So the,
right.
the sense of being able to feel that greater sensitivity to connect
right.
the spirit minimizes until they then get a little bit older. I mean, the definition of what a medium is somebody who is so sensitive that they can feel the vibrations of both sides of life. Well, little
right.
kids are very sensitive.
Right.
Pre-adolescents are very sensitive.
Right. Right. I understand that. But I also, what I find, you know, going back to the idea that this could be a temporary thing, it can be something that actually can be outgrown. So
absolutely,
when you're when you're presented with a child, and you also brought in the word about being fearful, and you have a child that's experiencing something. So I think the first and foremost thing that a parent should do is not to be fearful themselves, because they can project
absolutely.
That fear upon the child.
Absolutely.
And turn what is a natural experience into an unpleasant experience, because they're saying, well, if mommy and daddy's scared, I guess I should be scared.
And that's something that I feel happens more often than not. That
right.
the parent's anxiety about the situation colors
right.
the way the child is perceiving it.
Right. And so I think that's the first responsibility, in my humble opinion, is to treat it naturally. But when it comes to actually trying to foster these gifts or
mm-hmm.
to encourage the child, to develop the child, I think you should just let it run its course. Because I guess from my perspective is there's certain people that everyone has an ability. More often than not, they're using it, not even realizing they're using it. But also, there's certain people that this is part of their past. That's why they're here.
Right.
And so, therefore, that's when it doesn't go away, because it's part of what it is your soul is here to experience. So these
exactly.
are the kind of people that become mediums, become psychics, get interested in spiritual philosophy and turn out doing it for a life's work, as opposed to somebody that sees occasionally here, there, and everywhere, you know?
Well, let's take the child that, you know, that has these experiences. And how can you foster them without getting into serious spirit communication?
Right.
You can work with the child to develop their intuitive skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's those intuitive skills that will help them to develop this. So, you know, there's a very wonderful woman who, when we chatted earlier today, I mentioned to you, Susan Gale. And she talked about doing exercises with children where, in fact, you know, you have maybe a pink slip of paper inside an envelope and a blue slip of paper inside an envelope and a green slip of paper in another one. And, you know, have the child do a little psychometry.
Right.
What color do you feel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but we have to know that some children will have this and some children don't. Now, in the cases where there is a greater sensitivity, as we are learning a lot more about today, we also know that many times that comes with certain behavioral situations that, in fact, the structured school environment does not particularly appreciate.
Right.
And that many times they are sent and notes are sent home to get this child tested and to get them evaluated and to give them medication.
Right. That's what Dr. Emery discussed last week about putting 15 million of our children are on psychotic, you know, or amphetamine.
And I just think that is just the most awful thing
mm-hmm.
that you can possibly do to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
That, in
right.
fact, helping them to understand who they are
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what gifts they have and may not have. I mean, many times somebody who is ADD or ADHD, you know, has certain creative gifts, has certain mediumistic gifts.
Sure.
And they don't necessarily have the ability to sit still in their seat and read five chapters straight in a row.
Right, right.
And
Dr. Kevin's been a really important thing about they actually pick up the energy in the room, in the actual
absolutely.
Classroom from the other students. And so they're so sensitive that they... their own, you know, everyone knows when you're empathic or when you're that sensitive, you're picking up other people's stuff and so reacting to that. And that was really, you know, when you're thinking of a classroom situation, and that made a heck of a lot of sense when he was talking about it last week.
Well, if you think about, you know, all of us, you know, that are, shall we say, more sensitive people, you can
right.
go into a supermarket or you can go into mm-hmm. an antique store and, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if I go into an antique store, I feel like I've got the creepy crawlies all over me
mm-hmm.
because I'm picking up all the vibrations of everything there.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of a child doing this and not understanding what they are experiencing.
Right, right.
And this, again, is where it is very, very important for the parent
mm-hmm.
and teachers, where possible, to help the child empower themselves to know
mm-hmm.
who they are, what they are, encourage them to explore what, even if you want to call it their imagination, even though they may be seeing something that is very real, encourage them to explore this. Say you have
sure.
a child that is, you know, a fourth grader or a fifth grader, and they're seeing somebody from another century. Well, maybe we can make up a story. Or,
sure.
you know, what's the story about this? Color
sure.
picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, write a little book. You know, do a play acting. So, again, you can work with the child to find out who it is, what it
right.
is, and,
well,
you know, and make it fun
right. Right.
rather than saying there's something wrong with you.
Right. I want to bring up one thing because I actually got an email from a person here, and it was very much in alignment with something I had told you about my own grandson,
mm-hmm.
and particularly about Thomas the Train. Now, with my grandson, he was particularly, it was the actual eyes on certain characters in Thomas the Train that bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
And in his explanation, one time he was gazing off into the kitchen and he had already been given the word ghost, I think actually from a ghost. It wasn't a word that was used in the household whatsoever. But he was staring in the kitchen and he said, "Ghost Mama," and then he said, "Choo-choo train eyes," and he was referring to Thomas the Train. And I thought that was really interesting. However, when I got this email from a mother who said She was talking about her son, who was 4 years old, who has better communication skills.
Right.
And this child said that he had just had a dream about pretend people. And in the course of the discussion, he actually speaks to these pretend people during the day. And when asked, well, what is a pretend person, he referred to, now get this, Thomas the Train. And he said, you know, Mommy, when they talk but they don't move their mouths. So both these children are talking about, both had a telepathic experience. Or one was describing telepathy, which is how spirit communicates to us, where they impress what they're, you know, what they're trying to say upon you so you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So talk without moving their lips, and also this two different children connecting to the same thing. And I think that what strikes me is when a child does not have the communication skills, when they're that young, and this is when they're most, I wouldn't call it vulnerable, but the most open, you know, and what do they see? I mean, and then the kind of impressions, you know, that these two little children, 2 and 4, came up with telling a story about this cartoon and how they related to spirit. What do you think of that?
I think that what they were trying to say, my experience in connecting to spirit is many times they tell the story with their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily see their mouth move when they talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will see their faces, but I can see an expression on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And I will see the story through their eyes, and you're hearing the story being told to you.
Right.
But it's not, and so essentially, you know, what I can assume is that these children are experiencing the communication with spirit in the same way. The eyes are looking at them because, you know, I don't know Thomas the Train's story, or cartoon, but the eyes are looking at them. And yet the mouth is not moving.
There you go.
And the story is being told.
There you go.
So, you know, I'm assuming in the cartoon it's being narrated on some level.
Well, the cartoon characters don't move their mouths. Yes.
Right, okay. So you're experiencing it that way. When we see spirit and we're communicating with spirit, you know, you see them. You sense their emotion. You look in their eyes. Their eyes to me, you know, and you know, maybe because I do the portraits, but their eyes to me are the most telling part of who and what they are.
So that could be why they connect to the eyes then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, the eyes are giving a lot of the story. They're hearing the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they are connecting it to is this particular cartoon where, in fact, the eyes are obviously much more predominant.
They are.
And yet they are not actually talking with the way they watch all of us talk, with moving our mouths.
There you go. That's exactly it. And I just thought it was fascinating. It came from two different sources, and I thought it was interesting. Yeah, and it's interesting to have to try to look at this through a child's perspective, rather than through our perspective, but through their perspective of what they're experiencing. And I think that it was really kind of fascinating how two very small children came up with the same connection to this one cartoon show. So I thought it was interesting. I have another question.
Okay.
I want another question. Now, I of course, apply the numbers to everything, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I was actually an avid fan of things like Paranormal State and even the Lisa Williams show.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy watching them. And I began to every once in a while view a number of a house. And it got me to thinking, because I saw certain numbers that in numerology certainly do represent an open door to the spiritual realm. So I began to do some research. And upon doing my research, I found that there was, you know, if you look up the, you know, most haunted houses in America, or houses that are notoriously haunted, or houses where, you know, the same numbers kept repeating themselves. And when you understand what numerology is saying, we have our energy. Our energy enables us to have stronger connections to the spiritual realm. We also, some of us come in, and that is part of what we are here to experience. So that's another way in which you open that door to the spiritual realm. But also, numbers are like draws like. So even houses draw the energy of whatever the number is. So my question to you is, have you ever observed, have you ever took the time or noticed any repetitive numbers when you are doing investigations or when you're going to someone's house when they say that it's haunted? And is it possible that the experiences that some of these children are experiencing, certainly seeing spirit is something, but, you know, it actually could be the house that they're in?
Well, it definitely can be the house that they're in. That's, you know, that's what I was talking about before, where they've moved into a house and those spirits are connected to that particular house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that I've actually ever, researched the numbers of the addresses and I'm even trying to think of even the numbers, the houses that I've lived in. You know, what are the similarities in the numbers?
I'll tell you what, I'll email you my findings, and then maybe
please,
you
I would love to read that. That would be wonderful.
I will email you my findings because to me it was fascinating. The same numbers kept showing up over and over again, and then some of the most famous haunted places in America. So I thought that is fascinating, and
that is fascinating to me.
Yeah, so when you
study, you know, the esoteric studies, you know that the numbers have such incredible energy to them that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it makes sense. And that's what
right.
I would have to say. It makes
okay.
perfect sense. But I've never
okay.
done the research on it, so I'd be very interested to read what you found.
Right. All right, well, I'll send that to you. Listen,
thank
I'm going to take a moment here, and I'm going to give out the numbers, because certainly, you know, it's all about parents out there that have questions calling in and being able to speak to you and get your guidance. So I want to give out the toll-free numbers. Your calls and your questions are welcome. We absolutely would love to hear from you if you have a child or even yourself, you know, maybe a childhood experience or you yourself are experiencing things. You're more than welcome to call the station and talk to Rita and myself. The toll-free numbers are USA 877-876-5227. You can call toll-free from Canada at 888-815-9756, and you can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. Now, Rita, one other thing that I wanted to ask you, because I recently did a workshop, and what I was talking about was the universal year number as well as people's personal years.
Mm-hmm.
And this 2009 is an 11 universal year, which is a master number. And the 11 does represent, most people that have 11 energy are very predisposed to having paranormal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, this is the open door to the spiritual realm. This is about illumination, awakenings. And when I was discussing this with this group of people in my workshop, I asked them, have you noticed anything different since the beginning of the year? Have
mm-hmm.
you been having more experiences? Have you had more profound experiences or things you can't explain? You would not believe how eyebrows lifted and their hands went up and people were just chatting up away because everyone was experiencing this on a much more intense than
Absolutely.
What would have been considered to be normal because of the energy of this particular year. As a matter of fact, a woman that I had a reading with this morning told me that she asked me, well, at 2, 3 in the morning, she's being woken up by a kitten meowing in her room, but there is no cat in the house. And she said, this has been going on. And, of course, I told her to look up what a kitten totem was.
mm-hmm.
I said, obviously you have a little kitten spirit in your room, but look up what the totem is. What is the message? And, see what's going on there. But people are experiencing this. I know myself it's been a little wackadoodle for me.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Is it this year?
I would say absolutely. And, you know, I've actually been thinking about it. I've said, you know, even my own work feels like it's just coming in on so much of a more intense level where it feels like information that's flowing in is
mm-hmm.
is much more detailed. You know, if I said the work feels easier because of the minutia of information that's coming through, it's
mm-hmm.
fascinating to me. It's exciting to me. And
mm-hmm.
it would make perfect sense. You know, I look at the energy of what's going on all around us, whether you're going from the new president that we have to, you know, some of the difficulties, because we know that, you know, sometimes you do have to walk through the dark night to get to the other side.
Sure.
And so, you know, for people that are, shall we say, love to go against what the natural flow is, they seem to be having more difficulty right now, but it's also opening them up to more sensitivities, because when things aren't as easy in our life, we become more sensitive. So, mm-hmm. you know, I could see it happening on a lot of different levels. Again, very exciting.
It is very exciting. Okay, well.
So it's universal. There's no question about it.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's just amazing. As I said, the eyebrows went up and everyone has a story to tell. So, and even myself in that particular class, and I'm not just saying that, I mean, numerology is pretty much set in stone, but you do channel through the way in which the information comes out. And, you know, I've had my fair share of experiences with feeling spirit, but I have to say when I walked into that room and I had a dream, almost a premonition the night before about a very large light spirit being. But when I got into that room and I was trying to start my workshop, I swear I was being hit by such strong energy it almost made me sputter and stutter, because I was trying to, like, handle the energy. I could feel the energy, and I thought, what is going on? And what was really interesting was afterwards I felt an absolute pat on my head as I left the building. It was just like somebody reached right down and patted me on my head as I was leaving. And I'm not saying that in the past that I have not felt energy, because I have, but I've never felt it to the point where it was, you know, distracting. And then also, you know, to actually physically be patted on my head as I was leaving, I can't say
I felt
that before.
The physical feeling is pretty wild, yes. But the other thing that I have found this year is also the higher beings. And they seem to be the ascended masters, the angelic realms, seem to feel much closer.
Okay. Well, that's
nice
to know.
You know, and it just feels different.
It does.
It does. It just feels different. So, you know, you're the expert on numerology, but, you know, I can tell you psychically, spiritually, what I am picking up, and this year feels different, and it feels like, you know, even as I go into it, it feels like we are shedding.
Right.
Almost like
I feel it's all beginning to see through something.
Yes.
I mean, we're being able, the veil is thinner. I know they use those words all the time, and it's like, mm-hmm. what does that mean? But it does feel as though there are times where you feel as though if you just unfocus just for a moment and you just feel that energy, you can actually see beyond what is. Like there's something on the other side of your wall or on the other side of the trees. If you just try just a little harder, you could see it. And people are saying to me that they're seeing things out of the corner of their eye so much more. I swear, I moved my living room around so that my peripheral vision is against white walls, which has made a huge difference.
Yes. I had a very interesting experience the other day with a young woman who came in for a reading, lost her father, and the father was a scientist, and you know, during the reading, I described her father, so on and so forth, and gave all the information about him. And then I said to her, your father is telling me he sees you. You see him out of the corner of your eye, but when you turn your head, it goes away.
Yes.
And I said, you know, she said, yes, that's absolutely what's happening. And then the communicator, the father, the scientist, explained it to me, which blew me away, Allison, absolutely blew me away.
What was his explanation? I'm fascinated.
His explanation was that when we turn our head, we're going into our left brain and trying to analyze what we're seeing.
Ah.
And therefore we lose the image.
I had a medium friend once that actually works down in Casadagua. And I was in one of his mediumship classes, and he explained that as being that when you are distracted, let's say you're watching TV and you're distracted, at that moment your brain is being entertained, which
mm-hmm.
really you're not thinking. You're just kind of
right.
zoning out.
Exactly.
And when you see whatever it is out of the corner of your eye, when you turn, your vibration is in a different place when you're zoning. But when you actually
you're in right brain.
Right, but when you turn the head, you shift out of that.
You shift out of that, you turn your head, you look at it, and you're trying to understand what you're seeing, and then
that
becomes, and it goes away. That's because you've then shifted into the left brain. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, oh, my God.
Makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. The one thing I tell my students when I'm teaching mediumship is do not think. And I don't even let them use the word think. I say you sense it, you feel it, you experience it.
Right.
But you're not thinking it, because once you're thinking it, you're in left brain and it's about you, not about them.
Exactly.
And so here's this communicator, this scientist, who the daughter felt he probably wouldn't even come in because he was a scientist. Well, he not only came in beautifully, he taught me while he was here. Which I thought,
that's wonderful when you get a little message like that.
Yes,
but it is fascinating to sit there and watch all this stuff going on against the white walls.
Right.
And unfortunately, nothing has really... Now, well, I've often said, you know, I'm all for all aspects of developing oneself. And I've had many people say, well, you have mediumship abilities. But I've always often said, you know, about the time somebody starts walking through my living room is about the time I hang up my hat, you know, because I'm not really... But I have to say that I'm not so adverse to it now. But it's really funny because it's like a picnic going on in the other room where I'm seeing stuff all the time, and I'm always... you know, cognizant, you know, kind of smiling a little bit when I see him, but I try not to shift my energy. I try to just stay zoned out, see what happens. So I'll keep you know, stay tuned to that. It's kind of cool. But
so I have a question for you, if I may.
Sure, if I can answer, sure.
Numerologically.
Right.
If now, this year is an 11.
Yes.
Okay. Then next year, 2012.
Well, next year,
2010.
Mm-hmm.
We become a 3 then, don't we?
Sure. Well, this is an 11, right?
So will this shift at that point?
Well, I think that there's a specific purpose to this year, and I do think that there's a shifting. You have to look at the numbers of the whole of in its entirety. I think since the year 2000. When we made that switch, any zeros represent the God force. You know, whenever you've got a zero going on, that's connection to the God source. Whenever you have a 2 that's present anywhere, that is increasing your sensitivity. And it's going from, you know, a place of self to a place of being interconnected to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So so many people have been awakened since the 2000. So many people said, if somebody had told me I was doing this 6 years ago, I would have told them they were crazy.
Absolutely,
but people are shifting and awakening. Okay. So now we're at this 2009. When you add the 9 and the 2, you've got an 11. A very great deal of significance there. There is something about this year that the awakening, the illumination, the questioning status quo, the searching for the truth, not really being, you know, you're in a place where it's no longer what you've been told, what you've been fed, what you've been... It's no longer, it's all about, you know, making that step to reach for change, to bring change, to change the way you think. But also, I think the events that occurred this year are also going to illuminate. They're going to put exclamation points upon the awakening. I think that we're in for, you know, a major year. It's transformational. Whenever the 11's around, there's messages coming through, right, left, and sideways. It's in the air. It's in the energy, and it's for the duration of 12 months. Oftentimes, sometimes we, as human beings, some of us have 11 years. Sometimes we have 11 months where our personal month is 11. There's certain times where this is turned on and turned off for short durations. But we're talking for the entire planet. It's an 11 year for all 12 months. So we've got, this should be a very interesting year. Absolutely.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
Right. But when 2012... You have a 5 that comes in, and that demands change. There's an evolution that leads up to the change, but the 2012 is an actual 5. And so that's saying, this is when the change happens. The timing is right.
Mm-hmm.
The actual change occurs. That is the action of the actual change. You understand? So
and
that's also very volatile. And the 5 is always exciting. It's very exciting. And
it is exciting.
Very
it doesn't
unpredictable.
Have to be bad. That's the thing that I keep telling people. You know, people keep hearing about the 2012 and think it's going to be bad. So it doesn't have to be bad.
No.
You know, it's going to be different. It doesn't have to
different.
Be bad. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, I feel, in order to pry people's hands off of what they know and what they're used to, sometimes you got to shake it up a little bit.
Absolutely.
And in order to let go, it's almost like if you touch a hot pan, you don't do it again, right? You let go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about letting go of old belief systems. It's about letting go of an old way of living. I think that we're moving towards, in my humble opinion, to a time where we all become brothers and sisters. We all become one. It all becomes important, not only just what happens to us, but what happens to our fellow man. And I think it's going to bring the humanity of being human in. And I think it's a time that I don't think we're going to go to bed at night if somebody is hungry. I don't think we're going to be able to. I think we're all going to try to make this a better place. You know, I don't think we can solve everything, but I think that there are going to be things that are going to happen that's going to force us to all work together to help each other.
And these children that are so much more sensitive that are coming in now are very definitely going to be part of this movement.
They're part of a whole new world.
A whole new way of looking at life.
Exactly.
That, in fact, you know, you were talking before about the children going into the classroom and picking up the sensitivity of the children, you know, in the classroom. You know, again, it may not be just in the classroom. It may be worldwide. That, in fact, these children are picking up the sensitivity of the children that might be starving in Darfur or, you know, the children of the Iraqi people that were killed and are left alone. So they're picking up all of that energy, and it's going to force change.
Right.
Which, again, I think is a good thing.
Right. And the 11, as I said, comes in as a messenger as well. So we want to look back at other things, like someone asked me in the workshop, well, what did 9/11 mean? Well, that was definitely a message that was being sent. Now, how you want to interpret that message really depends on how you want to look at 9/11. But that occurred on an 11 day. And as being a numerologist, I look at numbers 24/7. Whenever an 11 day comes, no matter what the month is, you know I'm on it. Because I'm looking to see what is happening in the world. There is, you know, this is potentially a day where a significant message comes through. When Katrina was in the Gulf, I knew that Katrina itself, the name itself, vibrated to an 11. And I said to myself, I hope to God it doesn't hit on an 11 day. I hope to God it doesn't. And when it did, I knew immediately that this was not going to be good. And at first they didn't think it was going to be bad, but then it turned it to be tragic. And I know that the message that came forth at that time was, hello, people of the world. Hello, people of the United States. The message is, do you really think that your government is going to take care of you? Okay? Do you really, you're going to have to start taking care of yourself. You have to take care of each other. And also, I think somewhat of the message that came through there is pardon me, but if you compare 9/11, where you have a building full of people who are multi-moguls in the business world, in the financial world, and you have these buildings come crashing down, and the outpouring of help that came to help the people in the financial district in those buildings, yet when the poor were drowning in their houses and not rescued and on their roofs for days without food, the horrendous handling of what happened in Louisiana, to me, that in itself is a message. It's like placing the importance. Do you see where we place the importance? You see? Someone made a comment that if Kenny Bunkport got hit by the hurricane and people were sitting on those houses, you can bet your bippy that they wouldn't have been there 2-3 seconds after the storm stopped.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
sad,
I think that there's
true,
messages
yeah.
that come through with the 11. In historically, going back in time, we have not had, and I don't mean to turn the show into about numerology, but this is one thing to ponder. This energy has not been on this earth for 100 years. This is the first 11 years since 1910.
Wow.
So you think about that for a moment. Most of the people living on this planet have not experienced this energy in their lifetime. And it's here. It's 100 years in the making. So I'll leave it with that. Okay. One question I want to ask you, because I'm so sorry for going off track, and I apologize to everybody. I didn't mean to do that. One question that I got from one of my people that emailed me. Ethically, a psychic or medium would probably not do a reading for a child. you know, because, you know, parents, I don't know, I myself don't. But is there anybody that does readings, you know, to see if, you know, what's going on with the children? And also, you touched upon it earlier, and I want you to bring back the name of that school, you know, besides the one that you have, but what schools, where could you take a child like this? What are the resources out there?
There's a wonderful place in Massachusetts called A Place of Light. And it's run by a woman named Susan Gale. And the phone number there is 712-432-1620. And this particular place is just an amazing, amazing place. She works with children. She's written books on indigo children and on being the intuitive parent. And this is where she talks about, you know, if you have a child that is like this, what do you need to do? How do you need to work with them? And it's actually in Cherry Valley, which is part of Worcester County, Massachusetts. And she told me a story one time of a child that was brought into the school. Now, we're talking about a child who was 7 years old, basically nonverbal, would just yell. And the child was brought into the school, and she sat with the child at the end of the classroom, because he had been quiet there for about a month, and where he wasn't yelling. And one day he started to yell, and instead of, you know, saying, you've got to stop this, and, you know, yelling at the child, which had happened to him in regular school, what she did was she sat, and she sat close to him and looked at him and said, who's here? What are you seeing? And he started to describe four or five children. And then in the description of the children, you know, she said to him, which ones are making you happy? And he mentioned, you know, which ones were nice. And then she said, is there anybody that is making you unhappy? She never used a scary term.
Right.
And he started to say that one of the boys was making fun of him. And that was making him unhappy. Well, this child who basically had done no schoolwork, by the end of the year was reading on school level, on grade level, and was doing fine. So here is a child, because of the environment he was in, totally changed his way of being able to work with, you know, she was able to work with this child to make him comfortable in his own skin, and to know that, in fact, what he was seeing was not wrong. He wasn't yelled at for seeing things that were not correct. And he was talked to rather than, in most cases, what they would have done in another place is sent him to the nurse's office to be evaluated, so on and so forth. So, you know, I want to say parents have a choice.
Right.
Of what they want to do.
I think the way in which she was phrasing things with a child is really important to get, like you said earlier, gently, simply, and not suggestively, but just allowing the child to answer the questions so that you can, you know, almost ascertain what's going on with the child.
Right.
And that's kind of a neat
child.
Way to have them color it or have them ask them questions. Is it a boy? How tall is it? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Does it, you know, make you happy or make you sad? And that's really brilliant, you know. But
yeah,
I don't think
that
goes through parents' minds.
Well, I think, you know, I think so many times the parent is so afraid of not only in some cases there's a spirit in the house and, you know, oh, my God, what's the spirit doing in the house? Are they coming to invade my space? And, you know, Hollywood has made a fortune on making us very afraid. But on the other hand, you know, the child is picking this up. And then for no reason at all, in many cases, you know, I have one woman that I've worked with who constantly comes to me and talks about, you know, her child's horrible experiences. But I've known her long enough to know that she suffers from extreme anxiety. And, you know, I say to her, was this your daughter's anxiety? Or do you think possibly she's picking up on yours?
Sure.
And she always stops and looks at me. You know, so mm-hmm. we have to remember that, in fact, if the parent suffers from anxiety, that in itself could invite a more agitated spirit in, because like attracts like. Then you have the sensitive child that's picking up on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know,
right. Okay, well, that posed the question. Okay. And I know we only got a few minutes left, but you said, okay, Hollywood ghost stories, scary, bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just, and we talked about other things having to do with that, like should you try to ask spirit to leave? You're like, leave, I don't want to talk to you. Now, or tell your child that they can do that. But then the question mm-hmm. goes, you just got done saying, okay, if the environment of the house, what happens if you've got, you know, alcoholic father, or you've got parents that are fighting, or you have a situation where the parents are fearful and running around screaming and afraid to turn the lights off, and they're projecting all this on the child, which in turn, you just got done saying, invites in an agitated spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but spirits, doesn't matter whether they're friendly or not friendly, they can't hurt you. Is that the bottom
Correct.
Line?
They
so nothing to
hurt
fear.
You. Yes.
Right. They can,
but
they can,
you know, but the difficulty is when parents have been trained by media, and
mm-hmm.
the media tells them to be afraid. You know, we all know how titillating it is to sit around a campfire and tell a ghost story.
Sure.
Well, you know, they get into, shall we say, the rush of the ghost story.
Right, right.
You
well,
know, they're riding the energy of the anxiety.
Sure.
And,
so the,
you know,
the important thing to tell a parent is that they there's no point, nothing, nobody can. And also,
they can't
hurt you. Isn't spirits around us all the time anyhow? I mean, come on, if you really realize it, you're probably walking past them all the time if you don't
Absolutely.
See them or sense them. So what
you know,
the
they're not
deal?
In another place. I mean, I think that people think that they're someplace else. You know, they're
not,
somewhere
they're
over
here.
The rainbow. They're beyond a cloud. They're, you know, they're here. They're just of a different vibration.
Right. Exactly.
They're here all the time.
So there's nothing to fear. And if you could actually encourage your child or suggest to your child to tell them that they don't want to talk to them, and that can actually make the spirit. They have to abide by that request.
Mm-hmm.
By
they do.
Set boundaries. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's important. That's important. Well, listen, Rita, I don't know how it happened, but we're through the whole hour. So
my goodness,
do you,
it goes fast.
I know it does. Now, again, I want to remind everyone that's listening to the show to please visit Rita's website. There's a lot of information there on how to get a reading with Rita, different events in her area that she has, the different classes that she teaches. Books that she's written, which, you know, Mediate's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. Come on, there's a good book. So please visit her website, which is www.thespiritartist.com. Rita, I can't thank you enough for coming in and
my pleasure.
Being our resident expert on this and giving us some advice. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, come back again, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, everyone. Well, good night, Rita, and good night to everyone, people that called in, and all of those people that emailed me, everyone that's listening, and I'll be back again next week. I'm going to team up with Top Cat, the show that's on directly after me. We're actually going to be doing 2 full hours together, so that ought to be fun. So come back next week and join us. Good night, Rita. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.